So in continuing with the three kinds of Vaishnava association, then here Krishna Kshetra Prabhu has arranged description of the Kanista Madhyam and Uttam Adhikari, the platforms, taken from Srila Prabhupada's books in different explanations on different qualities. So three qualities are advancement in chanting, advancement by understanding the faith, and advancement by realization of Krishna. So those who are transcendentally situated means that non-ordinary. Means the ordinary devotees were just basically they accept, they accept God, means they believe in the philosophy, or they follow some of the practices but not strictly, or they're from those born in families of devotees, but they don't, accept, they don't practice very strictly like that. Then of those who are serious to be strict, and others here transcendentally situated, then we have these three ways of judging the platform of Kanista Madhyam and Uttam. So advancement in chanting. Then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 1672, Lord Chaitanya defines an essential characteristic of the Madhyam Adhikari. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered an advanced Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Citing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, a neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Two verses later, Lord Chaitanya describes the Uttam Adhikari. A first-class Vaishnav is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. So these are the definitions according to chanting. So the Madhyam, who is chanting, who is always chanting, and then Prabhupada describes, and where your duty is to serve as lotus feet. So we see here that he's talking about very serious respect is being given already to the Madhyam Adhikari. This is a very essential point, that here he describes the Madhyam Adhikari, and he says such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyam Bhagavat. He says a neophyte simply tries to chant the holy name of the Lord, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. He's accustomed means he's fixed in it, which is nishta. He takes pleasure in it, ruchi. So such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavat. So they are already called advanced. You have the neophyte, you have the advanced, and then he has first class or the pure unalloyed devotee, like this. So many different, the Uttam Adhikari. So we see that the difference between the Madhyam and the Uttam is much closer than between the Madhyam and the Kanista. So the neophyte is expected to associate with such a person and to serve them, to get their blessings. Right? Because it's through the Madhyams that the Lord's mercy is being given. Right? So this is a very important point, because otherwise sometimes it is said, well, unless one is an Uttam Adhikari, then we couldn't care less about him. They're just an ordinary Joe like everybody else. Or an ordinary Das like everybody else. But the point being made here, this is Lord Chaitanya's definition, right? He's saying No, the madhyam must be, at this point, we're seriously respecting and serving them. While the kanista, we're respecting. Naturally, between devotees, we're always respecting each other and trying to deal very properly according to etiquette with each other. But someone who's come to that advanced platform, then they should be respected. Right? Then, above that, then you have the uttama. So this is not in any way to bring down the standard of the uttam, but it's to show that the madhyam is also a very advanced standard. Right? So we see the neophyte is like maybe your general devotee, but someone who is situated very nicely in preaching, chanting, then they are to be respected. And this is accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must serve their lotus feet. You know, he uses lotus here. He doesn't just say one should serve him or render service to him. He uses the same term like in the uttama. It means just in the uttama, then you get even more benefit. But with the madhyam, you're already getting great benefit. Okay. Any questions on this point? Yes. It is rare. It is, even the madhyams are rare, because the thing is the madhyam means that from there they're advanced. If they fall, they take birth in the family of devotees. Can take. Kanista has every chance to go to the heavenly planets. You know? So it's rare. I mean, you look at all the living entities, because here, and even then, even the kanista, that is so rare. Because here it says transcendentally situated. Right? Means the kanista is also transcendentally situated, because they're situated on the boat of the instructions of the spiritual master. They're taking up the proper path of devotional service as given by the acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. So therefore, they are also considered transcendentally situated. Many times Prabhupada referred to all the devotees who are serious as pure devotees. But you may have kanista pure devotee, madhyam pure devotee, and uttam pure devotee. Right? Like that. So the pure devotee means they're pure in their desire and purpose. It means consciously. Unconsciously, there may be so much nonsense in the heart that we're trying to burn off by the process of devotional service. So when that comes up, we deal with it. So there's a difference between a pure devotee and a pure unalloyed devotee. Pure unalloyed means they've come to that transcendental platform where they're situated, where they have nothing else. There's no trace or tinge of any kind of material desire. So that is the platform of prema. But below that, they're called pure devotees. Right? You understand the distinction? Means crossing from bhava into prema then makes the difference between pure and pure unalloyed. And pure unalloyed means also only those basically who are going to Vrindavan. Because they have no attachments other than to serve Krishna. So even those who have come to prema, but they still are interested in worshipping the Lord in Vaikuntha like this, that means that they have some desire for liberation. Some form of liberation. You know, or there's some attachment to the formalities of the rules. So you get Dwarka, Mathura, Ayodhya, like this. So Vrindavan, you get pure unalloyed. It means there's no desire, it's only to please Krishna, and that's it. Right? While the other realms, there's some. It's spiritual desire. Liberation is spiritual desire, but still it's our own. While the other is our desire is simply to please Krishna. You know, and if he wants us to be liberated or not, it's up to him. right? You know? What is it? Marma hatam karotu. Aslishiva paradatam pinashtumam. Adarshanan marma hatam karotu va. Adarshanan marma hatam karotu va. You know, I see you, don't see you. If it makes you happy that I don't see you, then that is my pleasure. Right? The residents of Vaikuntha aren't saying that. They're saying, I want to be there, offer prayers to you, or have the same form as you, have the same opulence, live on the same planet as you. They're all asking for that. So it's transcendental. It's between them and the Lord, the relationships with the Lord. Like that. So it's accepted as bona fide. But the pure, unalloyed devotee means it is simply what makes Krishna happy. That's all. Just like you see, they went, Krishna had that story of Krishna having a headache. And then it was said that the only remedy is if he has the dust from the feet of his devotees. So then they went to, you know, Brahmins and other devotees, and they wouldn't give. They said, how can do that? I'll go to hell, you know. You know, if I put the dust from my feet, goes on Krishna's head. So then that person came to the gopis. I'm not sure if it wasn't Narad Muni. Yeah? So Narad Muni comes to the gopis and asks him that Krishna's got a very bad headache, and the only cure is if he has the dust from the feet of his devotees. So the gopis said, immediately, here, take, how much you want. And then Narad said, well, you're not afraid of going to hell, is that? Says, that? What do we care? If Krishna's headache will be cured, we don't mind going to hell. Like that. So there is, that's pure unalloyed. There's no desire for one's own, there's no worry for oneself. Krishna is the protector, he's a maintainer, he'll take care, whatever happens. While the others is still a little bit for oneself. It's very, but it's spiritual. It's not for the material senses or material body or mind. Or it's spiritual, but it's yeah. Does that make some sense? Oh, is there any way to get to that platform other than by association? One has to follow the process, chanting and that, but in the association of devotees. One has to associate with like-minded devotees. So we have the association of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions. His instructions, his example, like that. So that's there. Then we have all the other devotees that are in the society. So we start off immediately with such a devotee. And then everybody else who's there then adds to that. You know? It's already perfection plus then a little bit more. Right? So in that association, then it can only be auspicious. So in other words, the pure devotee is on all three platforms. But the pure unalloyed devotee is only on that topmost platform. So, and of these pure devotees, then from Madhyam, then the platform starts to become very serious. Recognizes them and expects that one will serve him through them. You know, through the Madhyams, through the Uttams, like that. And you respect all other devotees and all that. Because devotee is very rare. It's said that those who surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, as rare as the example is given of the tortoise on the bottom of the ocean. You have the vast ocean, there's one tortoise on the bottom. And on the top of the ocean, this vast ocean, there's a piece of driftwood that has a hole in it. You know, they have a knot and then the wood falls out and they got a hole. So that's floating around. So now the turtles will sit on the bottom of the ocean for some time and then they'll come up for some air and then they'll go down and sit. So the probability of the jiva in the material world coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master is as rare as that turtle on somewhere in the bottom of that ocean, and that driftwood somewhere on the top of the ocean, when the turtle comes up to take a breath of air, his head goes through the hole in the wood, and he takes his breath of air and goes down. That's how rare it is. So therefore, even what we would call the neophyte devotee, the neophyte, you know, transcendentally situated devotee, the one who has taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, is very rare. You know? It's very rare. You know, you probably have more, you know, microbes in your mouth than you got, you know, sampradayic devotees on the planet. you know, like that. So the amount of living entities that there are in this universe and the amount that have actually gotten the blessings of surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master is so rare. So therefore, any devotee is special. And then from amongst them, then the Madhyam is considered very special. And then the Uttam is considered most special. You know, it's like Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So special, more special, most special, like that. But we have to see that the general thing is we got Kanistan, we got Uttam, and then Madhyam's kind of something in between. Madhyam is also very special. Because Madhyam is very close. Their understanding is very close to the Uttams. Though they don't have the level of attachment and realization that the Uttams do. But they are in the same category. In the way of understanding the medium in which they're working, the transcendental subject matter. Means the spiritual, what's going on. You know, the spiritual realm, the material realm, the connection, the reflection, you know, rasa, all this. That's they're in the same realm that the Uttams are. Just their understanding of it is not as developed. You know, like that. Especially the beginning stages of Madhyam. But as it goes, I mean, asakti means attachment to Krishna. Here he's talking about here is the taste, takes pleasure in it. That's ruchi. He's accustomed to chanting. Right? A person who's always chanting. That means they've come to the platform of nishta. So kirtaniya sadahari. That's the third platform. I mean that's the nishta platform of nishta. Right? So then ruchi means they have a taste, they take pleasure in it. Like that. So it's considered very advanced. You understand? Means material desire and all that's been reduced very greatly. At nishta then the gross desire has been basically removed. Subtle desire is there, but at ruchi, then you give up a lower taste for a higher taste. So even the subtle, dhanam janam sundarim, is given up at that point. Like that. Then asakti means now it's attachment for Krishna. Right? Ruchi is attachment to service to Krishna. Chanting his name, doing service, attachment to the devotees, to the dham, like this. In other words, Krishna's paraphernalia. Name the paraphernalia in that. But asakti means you're directly attached to Krishna. Means you see the name as fully non-different from Krishna. Right? Means in ruchi it's the qualities. You see the qualities. In nishta you see the form. But in asakti then you see the pastimes. So therefore the pastimes means the Lord and his devotees and everything. So you're seeing on that platform. You don't have entrance. But that is the platform of what you get from chanting. Right? So then, like that.
You said unalloyed. Devotees going to Vrindavan. If it was a devotee of Lord Ram, that we perceive like Krishna as a...
Means the attachment to there, I'm not sure as much, but still there's some attachment to the rules and regulations. So if you have affection for Krishna, but you're still attached to the rules, then one serves Krishna in the five rasas, but in Dwarka or Mathura, you know, like that. You understand? Yeah. So there's still that attachment. For Vrindavan, there's no attachment for the rules. They follow the rules, but they're not attached to it. Right? Following the rules is just culture. You know, it's the proper thing to do, but you're not attached to it. Okay, so the next section then is advancement in faith. So Srila Rupa Goswami distinguishes amongst three levels of spiritual advancement in terms of degrees of faith. One who is expert in logic and understanding of revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, is to be considered a topmost devotee in devotional service. So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.17, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, he who does not know scriptural argument very well, but who has firm faith, is called an intermediate or second-class devotee. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also verse 18. And one whose faith is not very strong, who is just beginning, should be considered a neophyte devotee. That's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.19. These are all quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22. Then verses 66, 68, and 70. Okay, so here is about one's faith, how strong the faith is. So we see with the Uttamadhikari, the faith is very strong, and they're able to present that. They can argue that with others. Right? And they have great understanding of revealed scriptures. So they can expert in logic, expert in arguments, and they can, and with firm conviction, they can, they, and the faith is not blind, it's not sentiment, because they actually see, they actually understand. They're either seeing through the Shastra or they're seeing by their realization. That'll come in the next one. Right? So, they're seeing this. The Madhyam has that strict faith, knows the philosophy, but sometimes is not very expert at scriptural argument. Someone can defeat him in an argument. They can bring up some other things and he's stumped, doesn't know what to say. But he knows it's wrong, but he can't say. You know? Uttam means they can defeat them. The Madhyam means he may or may not be able to defeat. But his faith, even if the other person gives all kinds of arguments, it doesn't disturb his faith. Right? Somebody may give so many kinds of crazy arguments, but it doesn't disturb the faith. While the neophyte, then the faith is not strong. So if they hear all kinds of things and their faith becomes wavered and all this and that, and they may become affected by so many discussions and arguments. You know, it bewilders their mind, the faith becomes disturbed. You know, they're just starting up the process. But once we get it where we're fixed, anyone can say whatever they like, and it's, you know, we know Krishna consciousness is the right thing. But we don't quite know what to say to them. That's the Madhyam. And then Uttam means they're fixed in that, plus they know what to say. Any questions on this?
If someone had, you know, like discussed about argument,
yeah,
if they can argue, they can answer the questions if they put before them, said about they can answer through Shastra or through realization.
It means it's both. Okay. So it means, in other words, no, I was saying that they see through Shastra.
Shastra, yeah.
Means this, or they have, you know, a lot of deep realization. But the realization is based on the scripture's instructions.
So the realization that has already have knowledge of the Shastra.
Yeah, it means that'll come up in this next point. It may be easier to go to the next point and then continue. Advancement via realization of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47, there is a description of the third, second, and first class devotees in terms of the realization of Krishna. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him, then an intermediate second-class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all devotees, and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. And then, a Prakrita, or materialistic devotee, does not purposefully study the Shastra and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform. Although he is trying to advance in devotional service, such a person is a bhaktapraya, neophyte devotee, or bhaktabhasha, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. But one who does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others is known as a materialistic devotee. So here we see the Kanista. Then they are not purposely studying the scriptures, so therefore they don't know the scriptures so well, like that. And thus we see, it says, consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees, like that. So we may follow the principles spiritual master gives, Shastra's quote. So we follow those. But we still don't know how to show respect to the devotees. This is a very common thing. You'll see many times new devotees, this, that. They sit around, they fight like cats and dogs. Argue over this, argue over that, fight over all petty, petty stuff. And it's not really based on a serious study of the Shastra. You know, one will say this, one will say that, all kinds of things it turns into. But they can't show respect, and they can't show respect for advanced devotees. Like that, because they don't actually know what an advanced devotee is. Because we see, if we study this, what's been here, we can see that there's a lot of devotees who they're regular chanting like that. They're accustomed to chanting. They take pleasure in it. You know, they're able to you know, argue the philosophy very nicely and other kinds of things like that. You know, like that. They show affection for the Lord, they're friendly to all devotees, merciful to neophytes, ignorant people. So at least that much, but that much is greatly respected. But they don't even show that. It says, to advanced devotees, cannot properly respect advanced devotees. Advanced starts from Madhyam. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavat. So here you would take, okay, advanced devotees means the Uttamadhikaris doesn't respect. Okay, you know, like Ramachandra Khan and this and that. Okay, we accept that. Here it just means the preachers. Means the first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their life to preaching the mission of the Lord. So if we're accustomed to that kind of blasphemy, then our advancement is not much. So the Madhyam avoids that. And the Kanista doesn't. Okay. And we see here also that this intermediate platform of realization is very important for preaching. Otherwise the Uttama sees the Lord within everybody and sees everybody as Krishna's devotee. You see the Lord in everybody, you see every living entity as a servant of Krishna. You see them as that. And you don't really take so much seriousness into their body, what their body is. So you just see them as a devotee. Maybe they're in a tree body, in a human body, a dog body. It doesn't matter. You see them as a devotee. Right? So, therefore you don't bother preaching to them much. Because they're already devotees and you consider yourself as not a devotee. Right? That's one of the advanced devotee doesn't really consider that they're advanced. Someone who's not very advanced considers they're advanced. Right? Beginning stage is called utsamayi. You get a little bit of something, do something new, and bang, immediately you're the big man in it, you know? Like that. So like that, you have to be careful of that. Someone takes up something, someone has, you know, a good experience, and then immediately, you know, they're special amongst everybody, then that still means it's beginning stages. you know, sometimes those you can have. It's like these give you the idea. It means you have to be, so someone may be more advanced in one thing and other things not as, you know, it goes together. But there may be something's ahead, something's lagging, like that. So this is how one can judge each one. One can read each one and try to get. So one may be lagging behind in one, and in another, you know, something like that. And so one should try to keep all of them, one's chanting, one's faith, and one's realization on, you know, par. In other words, one should not neglect any of them. You know, one should see one's chanting is going nice, one's studying of the shastras, as it mentions here. Faith is coming from hearing. You hear the philosophy, so that means hearing from devotees and reading. And it mentions that the neophyte doesn't really like to study. Doesn't make a kind of a regulated thing of study. Okay, any questions on these? Yes.
So is that Uttama realization, or also Matthima has that translation?
See, the difference between the Uttam and the Madhyam, basically in there, is that the Madhyam is seeing through the Shastra. He understands it. You know, there may be much realization, but they haven't necessarily come to that. They haven't come to that platform of Brahma Bhuta, where they're totally off the bodily concept. Still affected by it. There are certain aspects. Uttam is not. Like that. So he understands that. You know? And he will base his activities on that realization. You know? Or Kanista will hear about it, you know, think great, something, and then forget about it. But the Madhyam will always work on that platform. But the Uttama, he realizes that he's fully sees. In other words, the Madhyama can see through the eyes of Shastra. The Uttam can also see through the eyes of Shastra. It depends upon how Uttam they are. Because there's amongst Uttams, then there's 10 levels. And he, you know. And within that, within the first level, you have three levels. You know? And only two out of 10 of the major level can you experience in the material body. The other 8, you have to have a spiritual body to experience the other levels of Uttamadhikari. So Uttam is quite a vast, you know, topic like that. But we see that advanced devotional service starts from Madhyam, especially from the middle stage of Madhyam. Madhyam, which means Ruchi. Like that. But here it mentions, because they've always gone through the stage of how you say, becoming fixed. Because when you're fixed in devotional service, that's when devotees start to recognize your qualities. Right? When you become steady in your devotional service, devotees start to recognize your qualities. Like that. And from that, then they naturally come forward to render service. Like that. So it's a natural consequence of coming to a more advanced platform. Well, if one is not steady, and one manifests too many bad qualities, then devotees will not respect to that degree. They should always respect because one is a devotee. But they won't have that natural kind of spontaneous desire to serve. Like that. As they will when they see someone's very steady and is starting to manifest, you know, very strong devotional qualities. You understand? Yes.
Talked about how you cultivate faith through hearing and study. And cultivating realization. How do you cultivate realization? Through practice and devotion.
To cultivate that, yeah, there must be the same. It means when the faith grows, then we see our realization grows. See, it's basic. We chant properly, right? Then we can develop our faith. We have faith, we'll chant nicely. And then from this, by studying and all that, we increase the faith. And that increases our quality of chanting, that increases our realization. So basically is that we must follow the process, you know, and study. In other words, guru, sadhu, and shastra. We must have that association. By that association, then the faith grows. Then we're able to chant more nicely. We're able to gain realization. Anything else? No. Okay, then the next part is three kinds of Vaishnava association. Then Krishna Kshetra goes on to write. How one associates with other Vaishnavas will depend on one's own and others' level of advancement. A Vaishnava is cautious not to overestimate his own advancement or underestimate that of other Vaishnavas. Association for neophyte devotees. Since the neophyte cannot tell which devotees are advanced and which are not, the neophyte must simply take shelter of his spiritual master and with faith follow the rules and regulations to the best of his ability, learning from the spiritual master how to respect all Vaishnavas. By the mercy of the spiritual master, the neophyte can advance to the intermediate stage. Right? Because one can basically deal with what you yourself are on a platform of. One is neophyte, then one is very difficult to recognize, you know, madhyams and uttams. Though the points given by Lord Chaitanya and, you know, here that Prabhupada points out, then make it much easier, because these are the real things to test. One may say so many other things and make so many qualities and no desire and this and that. But the point is unless you're on that platform, you don't know what no desire is. Because otherwise I may take an external activity. If I did that, I would only do it if I had this desire. Right? And if someone else is doing it, then I would say, well, therefore, they're doing it because they have the same desire. Right? I would do it because I have that desire. Someone else is doing it, therefore they must have the same desire. Right? That's the logic. But that would be the logic of the kanistas. The neophyte. They're not able to see that there's something beyond. Because they can't understand the motive, what's behind, the subtleties. And we have to see that certain desires, you know, are more subtle. You know, and very important to get rid of. But very subtle. And others may be very gross. So we have to be very also cautious there on whether we whether we're working on the platform of subtle or gross desires. For us it may be gross. Same activity, someone else, it may be subtle. You know? Like that. We have to be very careful. Or we were in that situation, we were not able to function very properly in a Krishna conscious way. We had difficulty with our Krishna consciousness. Someone else is in that position, so naturally we figure, well, they're also going to have problems. But it's not necessarily. If they don't have the same desires, they won't necessarily have the same problems. It's very individual. Right? That's the thing. It's ultimately between the individual devotee, spiritual master, and Krishna. So we have to see, we have to be very, very careful. So therefore the neophyte has a tendency to respect others, all others, be kind, respectful to everybody. And then obvious things, okay, a sannyasi or this or that, then we know that, okay, there's supposed to be some more. So we just deal with it like that, because that creates in our sphere of activity, senior and junior, and the whole relationship, the authority structure, everything becomes established. Though we see it externally. Oh, this person's in sannyasi because they dress in this way. This person's a grihastha, they dress in that way. You know, this person's the temple president. You know, this person is this. No, this person is Prabhupada's disciple. This person. So all these are basically external ways. You know? And then from this, then one can establish and set up your following of the Vaishnav culture and etiquette. Though it's simply being done from the outside. Inside, we don't naturally have that kind of respect. But as one becomes purified, as one develops, then one is actually able to see, as one advances, one can start to see the advancement of others and see positions of others. At least tell who's above you, you know, who's equal and who's below. Well, the Kanista can't really tell. You know? Says he has respect, love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all devotees and very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. So he's friendly to all. So those who are senior, who are equal, he's very friendly. And he will naturally respect those who are in a more advanced position. But now he's friendly. The neophyte is just nice to everybody, because he's supposed to be. The Madhyam is friendly, because that's just his nature. He values devotees. He knows the position. The Kanista doesn't. Kanista doesn't understand the rarity of devotees, the specialty. Therefore, he'll fight and this and that with anybody. While the Madhyam, he's friendly with devotees. He makes friendship with the devotees. Like that. His relationships are deep. Association of intermediate devotees, Madhyam Adhikaris. The devotee on the intermediate level, can distinguish between the different types of devotees. Thus, as stated in the above Bhagavatam verse, he relates to them in the proper way, so as to advance in sadhana bhakti. Towards less advanced devotee, he should show compassion. Towards his equals, he should show friendship. And to superior devotees, he should offer all respects and service. And hear their instructions submissively. He avoids the non-devotees. Then quoting from Bhagavatam, the pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with the persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. It says here, it uses the word the pure devotee. Right? But you see the description Prabhupada is describing a Madhyamadhikari. Right? Even an Uttam who comes to the platform of the Madhyam to preach then follows like this. Greatest respect to the spiritual master, compassion to the poor, and friendship with those who are his equals. But all his activities are just done under strict regulation and controlled senses. But still, Prabhupada uses the word pure devotee. It's very important to understand here. So it's a very special position. Like that. Because he says, Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttam, pure devotees. So this is the Madhyam pure devotee. This is Bhagavatam 3:29:17. Srila Prabhupada writes, it is advised that an advanced devotee should be tolerant. He should show complete mercy to persons who are ignorant or innocent. A preacher devotee is meant to show mercy to innocent persons, whom he can elevate to devotional service. As for a devotee's treatment of other devotees who are his equals, he should maintain friendship with them. His general view should be to see every living entity as part of the Supreme Lord. His general view means like that. A saintly person is always tolerant and merciful. He is a friend to everyone, never an enemy to anyone, and he is peaceful. Bhagavatam 4:11-13 purport. So then Krishna Kshetra continues. Thus the Madhyamadikari should respect sincere but less advanced devotees and instruct them in devotional service. As for his equals, other intermediate devotees, he should live alongside them, take prasad with them, chant the Lord's name with them, and share with them his realizations of Krishna. He should always be straightforward, respectful, and friendly. When associating with an advanced Vaishnav, the intermediate devotee should very respectfully offer him all kinds of service and worship him to the best of his ability. Most important, when in the association of an advanced devotee, one should practice the devotional anga of Shravana, very attentively hearing him speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Nectar of Instruction 5 further illustrates these points. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord, the Kanista Adhikari. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity, the Madhyam Adhikari. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others, the Uttam Adhikari. So he's completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So this is a symptom of the Uttam. He does not criticize other individuals. We see that Prabhupada would criticize a misunderstanding of a philosophy, an improper action, you know, like this. But it's not the individual he's criticizing. It's just it's being done wrong. The individual needs to be educated how to do it properly. That is the proper platform. Then association of advanced devotees, Uttamadikari. Since pure devotees are beyond sadhana bhakti, they need not follow the rules of respect to advance. Still by nature, a pure devotee still sees everyone as a devotee of Krishna, and thus internally he respects all. For practical purposes, he may externally make distinctions between devotees and non-devotees. Means if one wants to preach the Uttamadikari, then he must act on the platform of the Madhyam. Like that. Otherwise, how do you preach? But you see, he can preach to someone who is not very qualified and make them qualified. Like Prahlad Maharaj. He could preach to the sons of the demons and make them into devotees. You know, Haridas Thakur could preach to the prostitute, make her into a devotee. Like that. So they may be able to preach to persons who the regular Madhyam can't preach to. The regular Madhyam may avoid them because that is his. He doesn't have that strength in the way of realization and in the way of philosophical argument, and that depth of that conviction that he can deal with such persons. But the Uttam who acts as the Madhyam can. So sometimes they will do even more amazing kinds of preaching, like that. But still the basic principle is there. Those who do not respond, they also leave, they don't bother with them. Those who do not take advantage. And they give them prasadam. You know, see that they get prasadam. So even if they don't understand, they get prasad, they're benefited. They've done service to Krishna. Any questions on this? Okay, then, in practical service, You know, before up to now, we've discussed mainly the philosophy of it. Practical service to the devotees. Krishna Kshetra here points out there are four basic ways to serve a Vaishnava. Giving him a seat, reception. Washing his feet, respect. Hearing from him, association. And assisting in any way, practical service. The devotee should offer these services to a spiritual master or to similarly advanced Vaishnavas. The transcendentally situated Vaishnava is most advanced in spiritual knowledge, and therefore he is most deserving of respect, reception, service, and worship, regardless of his varna, ashram, age, or other external condition. Serving the Vaishnavas is an important anga of devotional service and is the active ingredient of sadhu sangha, or association with devotees. So these different aspects are very important, and it's also pointed out that in the Upadeshamrita that it doesn't matter about one's, you know, background, one's physical appearance. You know, sometimes someone may, the advanced devotee may have, you know, some physical deformity, health difficulties, all, you know, so many things that would be seen as a defect. But these things are overlooked, because the point is there a realization and understanding, there are spiritual knowledge, realization, and so that is respected. And then we try to gain that association so that we may also get benefited by such association. So then he mentioned all these different ways that one can offer that respect. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 15.111 purport, Lord Chaitanya defines a Vaishnava and how we should act towards him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should offer all respects to him. Purport. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet. An advanced devotee should respect the person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform. Chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy, but a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnava may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. It is the duty of the householder to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada stresses the importance of showing proper respect. People in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnav or even a sannyasi, one should immediately offer respects to such a holy man. Then Krishna Kshetra gives a footnote on this. Sometimes we should refrain from offering a Vaishnava obeisances physically because doing so might inconvenience them. The Brihadnadadiya Purana forbids us to offer obeisances to a Vaishnava while he is bathing, collecting wood for a sacrifice, picking flowers, carrying water, or honoring prasad. If you are in an impure state, for example, if you are eating, bathing, or wearing shoes, or if your head is covered, you should neither offer nor receive obeisances physically. You are not, however, forbidden to offer respects in the mind. You should then take the next opportunity to offer physical obeisances. These rules apply when offering respects to any superior person, whether a Vaishnav or non-Vaishnav. A further point is that there are two times when we should offer obeisances to a superior, namely, first when we see the superior person, and again, when he or she sees us. Right? Like we may see the spiritual master from a distance offer obeisances, but then when they come close and see us, we should offer a bit again. Like that. Yes.
Why
considered unclean when you have your head covered?
No, is that head covered is there is that's not a matter of impure state. Not sure why he puts it there. Because generally for doing, in other words, rituals are generally done when the head's not covered. Like that. Unless it's a, you know, ceremonial headdress. But a normal, like, you know, you're wearing, you know, this and that. But that's not, you know, generally, that's not the most important. Main thing is eating, bathing, wearing shoes, just like you offer basically to take the shoes off. But, you know, of course, if you're in Siberia or, you know, Sweden in the winter and you got boots up to your knees, it may be very difficult to, you know, take your boots off and stand in the snow. But, you know, the main point is that one should be in a proper state oneself to offer obeisances, and the person that you offer the obeisances to should be in a proper way to receive. Because the point is you offer obeisance to somebody and then they reciprocate that. Either they offer their obeisances themselves, or, you know, there's some interaction. They acknowledge that you have offered obeisances. Right? So it mentions here, you know, while they're bathing, because they're in the, you know, how do they deal? You know, it's like that. Collecting firewood for a sacrifice. They got an arm full of wood. And then you offer obeisances. Then if they want to offer back, that they can't put it down. This, that, they can't. They're totally absorbed in the wood. You know, picking flowers. You got a basket of flowers and this and that. And because you're not supposed to put anything that's to be offered down and offer obeisances. Just like you want to, you have a garland or some chandan to offer the spiritual master when he comes. You're holding that garland. You don't offer your obeisances when you see him. Everybody else is offering obeisances. You do not offer obeisances. You go up to that person, give the garland, then you offer obeisances. Because if you offer obeisances, the offering goes onto the ground. Right? Or you have to give it to someone else. They hold it. You offer your obeisances, get up, take it, and then give it. But the normal thing is you have an offering, you take it in, and after giving the offering, then you offer your obeisances. Like that. Carrying water, you know, it's the same principle. Honoring prasad, because, you know, offer respects, you touch your right and left hand together in pranam mudra, then you contaminate both hands, it can't offer obeisances. It's just, you know, it can be something very simple, but otherwise, generally, one doesn't offer at those times. These devotees do these, but it's because nobody knows. But otherwise, it's not the proper time. Yes? Well, you may kind of bow your head a little bit at this, but you don't get down and do dandabat prasad in your plate and stuff like that. You know, one just, you know, one may, you know, lower the head a little bit.
Is it offensive if, like, the deities are open? Then you've already paid the obeisances to the deities, and then your Guru Maharaj walks in, then you pay obeisances to your Guru Maharaj. Is that offensive?
It's not really. Because the point is the spiritual master is representing the Supreme Lord. Question is on offering obeisance to the spiritual master in the temple. So, you know, but otherwise it's not so important in the temple like that. One can do that on another or on a side or something this and that. See, especially in the West where the temple rooms are very small, then it's more of an inconvenience. But like here, we find Mayapur, temples are so big, there's all different corners and nicks and crannies and this and that. And so many times what you'll see is when the spiritual master offers obeisances, they'll offer obeisances. That's one way. You're offering to the Lord, but at the same time is through the spiritual master.
But then they have to see them that you're doing
that. No, because, yeah, but it's more that you're offering obeisances. It's like you're doing worship along with the spiritual master. They're offering obeisances, then you also offer your obeisances. But then, generally at another time, then one would offer obeisances also. Like that. It's all, these are very fine points that, like that. Generally in India it was never much of a point, you know. But generally in the West it's, you know, can turn into great discussions and controversies and this and that. Most important thing is you wouldn't be offering respects to, you know, like your parents or other such persons who would be due respect on the material platform. They would not be respected in front of the deities nor in front of the spiritual master. Like that. Only with the order of the spiritual master can you offer respect to the parents if the parents are in front of the spiritual master. Like that. Because the spiritual master is more respected than the parents. Because they gave us the first birth, the animal birth. The spiritual master gives the second birth, which is spiritual birth. So in the parental rasa, the spiritual master is senior. Like that. So now it's become yes. That is up to the individuals. Most of the time he's not bothering with it anyway. Disciples are doing all these things. That is for him and other such persons to work out, not for you to project that that would be the proper thing, how you would see it. Because the point is when you're offering obeisances to him, to the spiritual master, he's not seeing, yes, they're respecting me. He sees that they're respecting the instructions, the parampara, you know, and everything that is there. Because when he speaks, it's not his own philosophy. It's the acharyas. So then you're respecting because of what is being the instructions that are given, right? It's not, you're not respecting that their particular body is something unique and special. You know, he's the tallest or the fattest or the shortest or the, you know, he can run the fastest or, you know, whatever it is. These aren't. We're respecting what they represent. So therefore the spiritual master sees that this respect is not for him. So therefore, in that case, it's not minded so much. But at the same time, it is a disturbance because the spiritual master has come there to worship the deity and it's a distraction. Like that. So that's the point. Okay, so we'll end here. Let's start. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.